You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 7th of December, the Thursday Facebook Live edition. It's pretty clear what our rotation is these days. We'll look at that, plus the red-hot Houston Rockets, the opponent tonight, and then move into your Facebook Live questions. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Why? Because it's a Thursday Facebook Live, and they're always nice enough to bring us that. It's also brought to you by Slow the Flow. Did anybody beat me last night, by the way? I got Draymond Green went out, so I kind of got killed on my draft last night. Live results are in. I did not win anything. I finished in fourth place out of six. Congratulations last night to our Rogue 28's team, who kicked some butt. Actually, won it by, oh my gosh, by 222-221-219-218. Whoa, what a... Second place was Ashlub's team, and third place was Skeet's team, and fourth team was my... Oh, wait, I came in fourth. I lost by 4 points with... Oh. Evan Fournier got me 27. He replaced Draymond. He might have been better. Al Horford was fine. Oh, man. Love draft. All right. So thanks for all who played with us yesterday. Jazz and the Rockets tonight. Coming your direction. The Rockets are on fire. They're 18-4. Some of the numbers on them are crazy right now. They're the second best offensive team behind the Warriors. And as I've said numerous times, when I remember we ran pack to open the year, the number one thing that jumped out to me was that their offense was stunningly close to that of the Warriors when I projected the season. And it's turning out to be true. So that's not a surprise. I mean, the Warriors and the Rockets have offensive ratings that are just different than the rest of the league right now. Those are the two best teams in the NBA. I know the Cavaliers have won a ton in a row. But these two teams are just playing at a completely higher stretch offensively, and offense wins in the NBA. Cleveland's kind of walking Houston down, getting close, and Toronto deserves some credit as well. But those four teams are the four teams that are over 110. The Warriors are a little bit better than the Rockets, but it's worth watching. The Rockets and Warriors' defenses are within 0.2 points per 100 possessions of each other, which is, again, worth keeping an eye on. Rockets have played a pretty soft run here. Phoenix, Memphis, Denver, New York, Brooklyn, Indiana, and the Lakers. Indiana's actually good. And they have marched past everyone. They have scored 117 or more points in six of their last seven. And they've scored 110 or more in every game in November but one, when they beat Memphis 105-83. Their losses this year are to Memphis early, Memphis again, the 76ers, and the Raptors. Their big wins this year, Warriors opening night, Cavaliers, November 9th, Cavaliers turn it right around there. It's probably the last loss Cleveland had, so give them credit for that. And that's it. And that's it. They have not played anyone yet. So I think that there's a chance that they're, you know, that this schedule that they're playing is so soft that we don't totally know who they are yet. But with that said, boy, you look at their last 10 games, and Harden's averaging 34 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. He's one of the great offense players of all time, shooting 40% from 3. Chris Paul is shooting 47% from 3. Trevor Ariza is shooting 48% from 3. Ryan Anderson shooting 46. P.J. Tucker, 42. Luke Mbamute, 52% from 3. Wow. Now, a lot of that's off Harden and Chris Paul creating great shots, but it is also a case of just these guys. This team is just beautifully put together. They have this incredible player in the middle, and they're able to move it and spin it and get it to spots and make plays. And it's really impressive. From our standpoint, one thing we didn't get to yesterday, two things I wanted to point out. One, as I read the internet, I was probably with you on this until I kind of, let's say I've embedded with the team or whatever you want to say. I think you'd be surprised how many decisions are made based upon 3 months, 6 months, 12-month windows. I think you've got to, we look at every decision at that moment, at that time, on that probably to win that next 3 minutes of a basketball game or to win the next game. And I would tell you that a huge amount of decisions, or at least a discussion point in the decision, is the concept of what are we going to need, who are we going to be in 3 months, who are we going to be in 6 months, who are we going to be in 12 months. And those are relevant. And those are not comments. Those are not, I've never, ever, ever, ever seen anybody in a fan blog, a Twitter, a talk show, that's not entirely true, but almost ever talk about something in that answer. Right? We should have closed like this. We got this rotational issue here. The truth is that these decisions are being made outside of the moment, with vision to where they might, you know, what the impact is, as I said, 3, 6, you know, so 6 months is free agency. 3 months is March and April, maybe post-trade deadline. 12 months is contract situations a year from now. Developing young players a year from now. Things are made in very they're very, very complicated. And I don't see a lot of that or recognition of that from anyone. The other one I wanted to point out is to not ever undervalue Tabo Sefolosha, Jonas Jerebko, Joe Johnson players. We all love our young next guy, but there's a tremendous value to the player that has established their value in the NBA, knows who they are, and is therefore willing to play for the team. You go get a young guy who's still trying to figure out, prove where he is, establish who he is in the league. He's going to worry about the team if it's convenient to who he is and where he's going. If the team can incorporate what they are doing, or if the team can incorporate that individual's personal needs to establish their value in the league with the team's desires, then that will be a team player. Tabo Sefolosha, Jonas Jerebko, even though they're basically free agents next year, the Jazz have a player option, Epe Udo, have kind of established where they fit, who they are, and are incredible team players. Those are the guys that are going to embrace the young players. Those are the players that are going to do what's needed. Those are the players that are going to set the models. Those are incredibly, incredibly valuable pieces. I actually generally think that veteran leadership in the NBA is a crock. In fact, you know, if I were to ask you who some of the best veteran leaders we've had in Utah are recently, you would tell me, and I would laugh, because what maybe the media sold as being good veteran leadership, I would tell you that the truth is that they weren't. And so I would tell you that I think that sometimes is pretty overblown. Today's show is brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Taylor and the group at Shamrock Auto Group are good people. They specialize in nearly new cars. They have people actually that come from all across the country that come to them once they've used Shamrock, and he'll go get the car. If you have a specific, you know, just call Rob up. I'll even give you his personal number, if you're looking for one or two, three types of cars, and to see what he can go get for you. And you'd be amazed what he and Brady and the crew can do. Rob's number is 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. If you go and read their Google reviews, you just, you know, after purchasing a car 15 years ago at a large auto dealer from a jerk, a dishonest salesman, we vowed we would never buy a car again from a dealer. But when we noticed the car we were looking for in the lot at Shamrock, we decided to pursue it. But with great hesitation, Brigham and Kellen quickly eased our hesitation with their friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure business manners. They made the deal perfect for us. We got our dream car. Great car buying experience. That's pretty consistent to what you hear from Shamrock. You get out-the-door pricing in 5 minutes, test drive by yourself, buying experience under an hour, full-service can-do financing in-house, extended warranties, value-driven Carfax report on every car. Tell them you came from Locked On Jazz, and you will go get free car washes and all sorts of other really good, fun things that they'll do for you. Independent car dealership. Just drive past the point of the mountain. Take the little trek down there. They're in Pleasant Grove, right off the freeway. It's Shamrock Auto. Take a second. Go look at the Google reviews and give Rob a call and see whether or not they can find what you're looking for. If you don't want Rob's number because that seems embarrassing to you, you can call 801-361-9796. That's 801-361-9796. But I personally would just – I call Rob, talk to him. Usually out on his bike. It's getting a little cold for him, though, right now. 801-319-2250. All right, let's get to some of your Facebook Live questions. I probably could anticipate a few of them today. But I love it. We got a few people here early in the morning. Post. Today was a it's so funny. You work at the home gym, right? So, but I now subscribe. I now have P90X, which three can't do anymore, which cost me like whatever. Actually, that's not that expensive. Then I have a yoga subscription that I have that I get. Then we now have Peloton in the house. Like I might as well, like, it's like, oh, I'm gonna save money. Whatever. Which is more likely? One, trade Favors. Two, trade Rudy. Three, keep Favors and resign him. Four, keep Favors for playoff push and don't re-sign him. All right, let's do it. These are interesting. So let's start with in a different order. I think if you're the Jazz, the first thing you have to address is, do you think there is any chance that Derek Favors would be interested in re-signing with the Utah Jazz next year? If you're – this has nothing to do with us. If you – are Derek Favors, would you want to re-sign to play for the Utah Jazz next year and be Rudy Gobert's backup? Okay? So I think the answer to that's no, right? Let's just be honest. Like, I can't imagine why the answer to that is yes. If anyone can tell me, give me an answer, yes, we can change this discussion. But if I'm the Jazz and I'm in an office and I'm in Dennis Lindsay's office and they're asking me that question, I would have to say the answer to that is no. So then the next question is, all right, is Derek Favors better than Rudy Gobert? Do we then have to try to should we trade Rudy to keep Derek? Because we decided that, right? Because that's, so that's now the, well, the risk analysis on that is you trade Rudy and then Derek can also still not re-sign, right? So I don't think that's a very good road. Regardless of if you believe that Derek might be better than Rudy, I just think you still have to kind of move down the other road, right? Okay. So now, those are answered. So now the question is, now you're down to two. You either trade Favors at the trade deadline, or coming up here, or you keep him to make a playoff push and then let him move and you use the salary cap in some other capacity. Because I think it's unlikely for this team to win a championship, and I think it would be difficult to win a playoff series, not unlikely, but just difficult, then I think it is probably, if there's a good deal for the well-being of the franchise in a long window, because our general manager knows he's going to be here, because we have franchise stability that other franchises don't have, this would allow Dennis to address the possibility of bringing back value for Derek, who we've established is likely to leave in free agency. Understandably, there's no, like, sometimes people have a hard time with this. Like, everyone's got their own choice. There's nothing wrong with Derek making any of these decisions. It's not like I hate Utah, I'm leaving. Like, but why would, like, I don't want to be a backup to, right? Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the equivalent is, but, you know, if you're a midday talk show host, you got a chance to get an afternoon drive in another market, you go. So I think, so if now the good thing about our organization is that Dennis Lindsay is not sitting here thinking, well, if I don't win a playoff series, I'm going to get fired. And so, but if you can actually garner some talent. Now, the other possibility is a trade that could make us better. And I'm watching what everyone's talking about with DeAndre Jordan, because DeAndre Jordan's so high profile, everyone's talking about DeAndre Jordan. And the fact is that DeAndre Jordan is, in many ways, Derek Favors. I have Sam Amick on the Locked On NBA podcast and ask him specifically who has more value. You're renting both of them for a year. And his answer was Derek Favors. So, like, if Milwaukee's really talking about the possibility of DeAndre Jordan for Chris Middleton, which I'm not sure why they would be doing that, but if that's really a discussion, then I immediately just read that as, well, Derek Favors for Chris Middleton, that just might make the Jazz better, right? It's interesting, though. I mean, then Joe, how's Joe Ingles play, and what do you, like, right? These all get interesting. We have a lot of players. So, great question. Good job, Michael. Way to start off the show. I think hit an issue that many people are asking about, and I think addressing it well. Any news on Dante and his recovery? Can't help feeling worse for him. With Donovan and Alex's performance, we could have been talking about him as well. Dante is around the team a good deal. I think I saw him on the bike the other day, but still in a sling. They have not ruled him out for the year, and the only reason I mention that is they didn't go get a player injury exception the way the Celtics did for Hayward. So I'm sure Dante is shooting to try to get back. Might be a little bit of a push. You know, Donovan and Dante become a pretty interesting combination together, and that's the bummer. Because what gets interesting there is that maybe neither of them is a true point guard, but both of them are good enough to play with the ball in their hands and move it and spin it around and open up floor for each other to drive. Dante really still can't shoot, or has not shown the ability to shoot, let me rephrase that, in game action. So it'll be question to see how that plays out. But I think what you are seeing is, you know, Donovan's obviously going to be a huge part of this team and fits in. Alec has been great. Isn't that just the coolest? And, you know, he's got another year in the contract, so he should be back a year from now, though he's, you know, there's another piece where you probably have a little bit of that same discussion with him, though I'm not sure that I think it's quite the exact same discussion as what we have had in the past. So good questions. What is Derek Favors' trade value right now? Same, Michael, good. You know, I don't know the value of a center in this league. What we're seeing, though, that's interesting is that Nikola Jokic, Karl Anthony Towns, really good offensive centers who have no defense, are being exposed on a nightly basis. And it's problematic. And so, you know, if you're Denver, they have Paul Millsap, but Favors is probably a better answer. If you're Minnesota, you know, does Favors somehow answer a need for you by playing? They have Taj Gibson, but Favors is probably a better answer. Are you somebody who sees Favors as a permanent piece and you want his bird rights? So there's two scenarios here where somebody wants Derek Favors. One is you're Milwaukee, you don't have a center. Three scenarios. One, you're Milwaukee, you don't have a center. You're playing John Henson and you need someone. Okay. Two is you are a playoff team and you need to kind of reconstruct and get some defense around the middle because you're not good enough defensively. And then three is that you're a team and you're looking to your future and you're saying to yourself, hey, wait a sec. If we sign this guy, we get his bird rights and he's our major piece. He's a major piece for us for the future. And so, you know, the three teams that are good, that are bad defensively, are Minnesota, Denver, Cleveland. And that, so those are the teams that just don't have a center. I'd have to really think about this. Everyone's kind of got somebody and something. There aren't actually many teams that just don't have a center, which is a kind of a weird place to be in this league, actually. I guess Dallas doesn't have one, and so they'd have to figure out that they think Dennis Smith, Harrison Barnes, and Derek Favors is somehow some building block to the future. And then you just have teams that are developing who decide they think Derek Favors is so important they have to have him. But they that I think that one's lesser because the chances of the Jazz spending a lot of money on Favors is limited. And so I don't think people are that worried about the Jazz outbidding you for Derek Favors in the offseason. And I think that's kind of important to realize. In the past 20 years, Utah's weather has been a streaky shooter. Some years it's all splash, others it's very little. And when you combine Utah's streaky shooting and dry summers, you get serious water worry, which is why there's something we can all do to slow the flow. You must be thinking, Locke, it's winter, there's probably not much I can do. Exactly the opposite. Slowtheflow.org has plenty you can do to conserve water in the home, like shortening your shower time. The numbers don't lie. If you showered just 1 minute less every day, you'd save 1,875 gallons of water every year. Even better, if you switch to an ultra low flow shower head, you'd save as much as 2.5 gallons every minute for your shower. You're a big Utah fan, right? Not football, just Utah. So do it a favor. Head to slowtheflow.org and find out ways that you can save water. It's something we all can do. Slow the flow. Save H2O. They got me yesterday. I'm in my shower and relaxing, enjoying it, coming off a bike ride, and thinking, and then all of a sudden I was like, slowtheflow.org, slowtheflow.org. All right, let's continue on the questions. We've got about 5 more minutes. I'm way late getting my daughter. Is starting Donovan at point guard the answer for the starting lineup shooting, or is it too much to ask of him? Could Burks fill in the role starting shooting guard if Hood still is out? It is too much to ask for Donovan, and if you watch carefully how Quinn Snyder is using Donovan Mitchell as a shooting guard, you will notice that he uses him very astutely, very limited, without having to make a ton of decisions. When plays are very simple, he doesn't want him coming up the floor and thinking to himself, hey, you got to go here, you go here, and take that away from me. It's not his natural way to play the game, and it's not the way to integrate. Quinn is as incredible as Donovan is being. Quinn is being very careful in how he uses Donovan and which moments he has given all of that time. What is wrong with Wood, Rodney? It seems like his injuries drag on. I think that's, you know, so I think that observation is fair because it does seem that way. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. But I also always feel like I don't know what's going on in his body. I don't even know when that injury happened. And so I think it's very hard for us to say what's taking place, right? I always think it's a very big mistake to start talking about somebody else's body and injuries in that manner. But I understand where you're coming from in that comment, if that makes sense. Donovan, Rudy, who is the third in the big three, or what position is a need? I don't think we know that answer yet, right? I mean, I think it's unlikely that Faves is with us a year from now. Rodney probably is restricted free agent, is probably back. Dante still develops. We move around. Maybe you can do it with a trade. You know, I think that's a really interesting question. I think we weren't going to have, with Gordon leaving, we weren't going to have that right away. There was a level of discovery to this season that's taking place that I think is still taking place right now. Are there any players out there worth making a trade for? I don't know that yet. I think that's a really good question. I don't know how desperate teams are, who's willing to give things up, Minnesota to me just doesn't work. Like, I watch them, they don't pass my eye test. What are they willing to do? Denver's interesting. That doesn't quite work. What are they willing to do? That's an inner. Those are both interdivision trades that are hard. We watch them. I'm sure there's East Charlotte's not quite working. Do they have anything that they're interested in doing? So you have to kind of look around and see Miami side and those guys, in my opinion, to all trade them. Are any of those suddenly pieces that work? I don't really know. You mentioned the need for a high usage player like Wiggins. If you get high usage ball stopper, will he help in clutch time? But will you ever get to clutch time? I find Andrew Wiggins the most fascinating player in the league right now. Is he any good? I have no idea if he's any good at all and if he helps you win in the slightest bit. It's a fascinating, fascinating discussion. That is Locked On Jazz today, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks very much for tuning in. Thanks to Shamrock Auto Group and Slow the Flow. Come out and join us 8:30 tonight, ballgame, and our deepest thoughts and to the Karolinko family, who evidently lost their house in Los Angeles during the fires in L.A. My nephew goes to school with Fedor, so I do know they live out there, and their kids are going to school there, so our deepest thoughts to them. That is Locked On Jazz on the Locked On Podcast Network.